Welcome to today's interview on Brighteon.tv and Brighteon.com. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and I'm so pleased to bring in our guest today in her new studio. It's Anne Vandersteel, and she has just a bombshell new show on Brighteon.tv. I believe it's at 8 Eastern, Monday through Friday, but she can correct me if that's wrong. But Anne, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Mike, always a pleasure to see you. And yes, thanks to Brighteon and your incredible team. I am sitting in a beautiful studio, so it's a blessing to be here and part of this great network. I know incredible things are coming every single day, in fact, out of this team over at Brighteon.
Well, it's just amazing. Your show, first of all, I just have to commend you. It's a hard-hitting, fast-paced. You're hitting the big headlines of the day. You don't get distracted like I do sometimes. I'll go too far down the rabbit hole on one story. But you're covering the stories. How's that new show format going for you?
Well, you know what? It's actually kind of easy for me because this is what I'm used to doing. I like putting together the full geopolitical look for the world at the world for my audience because I think it's important for people to understand. Rabbit holes are significant because people fully understand exactly what happened in one instance. But when you can put all those rabbit holes together and string them together into a full context for people to understand how everything is related, it gets Americans particularly out of their comfort zone to understand the world doesn't revolve around the United States as we've been led to believe. Yeah. And I think it's important for people to see how everything is connected so that they can start to understand the PSYOP because it is just one giant PSYOP after another. And it's sort of like walking through a tunnel with bombs going off around you everywhere. Those are distractions. Where you're going is critical, and you need to understand what that path is so you can get there safely. And I think, you know, what you're doing with explaining the prepping and the monetization, what's happening with our financial system and the guests you're bringing on are so critical because people get the full understanding. Now we've got to put it together to help people navigate safely to the other side.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're really good at doing that for people. In fact, I want to ask you, there's a story you mentioned that I know you've been covering quite a bit. It's about Sarasota. This is it a hospital or a clinic? What's the official name?
So it's Sarasota Memorial Hospital. They're one of the largest employers in South Florida, frankly. And it's a great hospital system. They do great work there. Unfortunately, they become victim of the COVID money, the PPP money, that incredible money that gets spent when people are put on a ventilator or they're given remdesivir for a course or two. And sadly, they have ignored what is clearly evidence that even the WHO said after the Ebola trials, they would never use remdesivir. In 2018 and 19, they discovered remdesivir killed somewhere between 53 and 86% of the patients, depending on where they were in the Ebola cycle. So the WHO even said, no, we won't use it. But sadly, Fauci lied and said, hey, we've got to use this because it proved efficacious. And so he, of course, dictates what happens over at the CDC and the FDA with all the other, you know, criminal cronies over there, the unelected bureaucrats. And now we have protocols being delivered through hospital systems nationwide that, like here in Florida, because there is incentivization to, you know, promote these protocols which kill people. But also you have coverage. Ron DeSantis signed SB 72 into law, which says, as long as you're using CDC sanctioned protocols, the hospital system or the medical provider will not be penalized. They will not be held accountable for anything that happens that's bad. Wow. And so, you know, this has been giving people cover and liability protection while they're killing people in the hospitals. And let's not forget, they've also done it very cruelly and heartlessly by just, you know, giving family members the opportunity to wave goodbye on a FaceTime call and not permitting them into the hospital rooms while it doesn't matter if it's food being delivered or a bed change or whatever. Other people can go in there, but family has been, you know, denied. So this is what is sadly happening in Sarasota. We've been calling attention to this, and we've raised a lot of noise, Mike, thanks to Brighteon showing up at our press conference last week. We had a huge outpouring of all kinds of media that were basically slamming all of us medical freedom fighters, including the New York Times, because we were making so much noise and calling attention to the travesty going on right here in South Florida.
Yeah, you know, how dare you call out the medical violence that's being carried out, I would say, by these hospitals against their own patients. You know, if you or I were to go commit an act of violence against some innocent person, that would be assault. But somehow when it's in a hospital room and it's chemical violence or ventilator violence or vaccine violence, what that's magically okay? because the CDC says that's good. Well, the CDC is a criminal front for Big Pharma. The CDC is involved in my opinion, mass genocide against the human race. And they have killed millions of Americans over many decades with deliberate depopulation policies at the CDC and the FDA. But I mean, that's my opinion. But even if people disagree with that, don't we have the right to express these concerns and challenge the medical establishment there and say, hey, what are you doing? Why are people dying under your care?
You're absolutely right. And in fact, we witnessed at these at a public comment. So what's nice about Sarasota Memorial Hospital is that they actually are, because they're taxpayer funded, they have public comment during their hospital board meetings, which occur monthly. Now, up until December, these hospital board meetings, while they're held in a giant auditorium where grand rounds are performed and physicians come in and educate, they were fairly benign and sleepy with nobody in attendance except the board. Well, fast forward to what we now understand with the killing fields that they've turned into. You've got public showing up that are demanding to be heard because their loved one was murdered in these hospitals based on these protocols. We were able to generate so much enthusiasm, not only locally in the community, but nationwide, that we had doctors coming in, including Dr. Artis, who flew in. Other folks came in from all over the country to speak. But one local doctor, Dr. John Littell, who is up in Ocala about 3 hours away, took time out of his busy day to come and speak to the hospital board for the only 3 minutes that they would give each person at the mic to speak. And they cut him off at the mic last month at 2 minutes and 30 seconds. They cut him off short because they didn't like the truth he was talking about, Mike. On his way out, he literally leaned over the stanchion to say hello to one of the board members for who he knew, just a pleasantry. And the police escorted them out for breaking the protocol where you're not supposed to address any board members specifically. So fast forward to last week, their next hospital board meeting, we had a press conference. And up into the press conference, a lot of mainstream publications, including New York Times, were all calling us conspiracy theorists, et cetera. So what did we do? Representing, you know, Brighteon, representing the Zelenko Freedom Foundation, Mike, we came armed with the facts that the WHO said no to remdesivir, the facts that the NIH had studied, you know, hydroxychloroquine in 2005 and showed it was efficacious for coronaviruses. And we just brought all this information forward, including the fact that the now deputy director for the CDC says that these vaccines aren't safe. They're seeing a lot of adverse events. So how is the hospital going to reconcile this, Mike, when you move forward? They're going to be looking at liability claims all over the place if they don't stop and change direction now. And they have the opportunity to lead, you know, everybody out of this dark tunnel nationwide, since the spotlight is on them.
Don't you find it interesting that the most evil things that are being carried out in society by governments and corporations are always granted legal immunity? For example, you just mentioned hospitals. As long as they're following CDC guidelines, then in the state of Florida now, apparently they cannot be sued. I don't know the details of that law, but I think that's the overall emphasis of it. And then also with big tech. Big tech is granted. I was just interviewing Jason Fick here in studio. Big tech is granted license to censor you. You can't sue them. They have legal immunity, even though they violate the very letter of the law that was originally written for that, Section 230, as it's called. But and then the U.S. military complex, when they go and bomb another country or bomb, let's say, the Nord Stream pipeline, and they commit an act of terrorism against Germany and Europe, well, it's total legal immunity because of plausible deniability. Meanwhile, you and I get blamed by, let's say, the New York Times or those of us in the alt media blamed and called out as irresponsible people, where the real criminals are running free, bombing the world, murdering patients, censoring the truth all over, and nothing ever happens to them.
Right. Well, you know what? You used a very important word, legal. There's legal, but legal is not lawful, Mike, and lawful is not legal. That's why attorneys are there to attorney you, because you are considered corporate fiction by the U.S. government. You're dead. And that's why you need an attorney to represent you to the court in their legal system. Right. You know, part of the problem is we don't even know where we stand. We don't know how to stand, and we don't know how to maintain and correct statuses and own the jurisdictions of all areas of law, whether it's on land, on water, or up in the air. And if you can't stand and you can't be in control of your three areas of the law, then how do you expect to battle the demons who are basically pulling us into, you know, administrative courts left and right? You ask, why can't Carrie Lake why shouldn't she have won? Why did, you know, Donald Trump not win? Why was he thrown out for lack of standing? Well, he's got lack of standing because he's battling in the wrong courts. He's not pulling people back under law of the land and fighting over on the constitutional side of things. And of course, if you are corporate fiction as designated by our corporate government, when you got your birth certificate and your Social Security card, you opted into their corporate system, and they can only contract with corporations. Corporations can't contract with people. They contract with other corporations. That's how these vehicles work. And so your all caps name, Mike Adams, on your driver's license and passport, bank statements, et cetera, represent your corporate fiction, your straw man of yourself. And this is a bigger conversation, clearly, yes. But this is how they win legally. But we can win lawfully if we actually can control the jurists and the diction, the actual language. Remember Bill Clinton, Mike. It depends on the definition of is. He knows about this. He yeah. knows about language, and he knows about the law, and he knows what's legal. And they're totally different things.
Yeah, we'll have to have another conversation about that in more detail. But I want to ask you right now about DeSantis, because you mentioned him earlier. Of course, Trump versus DeSantis seems to be the conversation among candidates for the GOP. Surely the GOP will throw some more rhinos at us at some point. Like, here, have a rhino over here and a rhino over there. It'll be like rhinos dropping out of the sky, rhino rain day. But what's your take on DeSantis versus Trump right now, based on what you know today? I know it could change, but what's your take right now?
Well, look, Ron DeSantis' window dressing looks really good. Florida has weathered the COVID pandemic very well overall. I mean, it started out rocky. He locked us down because he didn't know what he was really doing. He closed the beaches. And I remember thinking to myself, vitamin D, anybody? This is where you get your sun. You want vitamin D for your immune system. But he's done a lot of things that were great for the state of Florida. He opened us up. However, that being said, you know, he still signed a bill. I think it's SB 60. Forgive me on the number. I could be wrong on the number, but he did sign a bill that allows judges to declare needles in the arms of everybody in Florida if he thinks there's something that needs to be prevented. He's also got this bill that gives indemnity to the hospitals if they're killing you using COVID protocols, which have now thoroughly been debunked as not safe and effective. Remdesivir is not good. Putting a ventilator in somebody's lungs that have filled up with fluid is just blowing bubbles underwater like a fish tank. It's not good. So, you know, understanding that, and then you just, you know, rewind the clock to inauguration when he, you know, was reinaugurated, winning in the election. Who was standing right behind him? Jeb Bush. You know, we are seeing the Jeb Bush, Bush dynasty, McCain on steroids all over again. And a very good friend of mine who ran the Trump campaign in 2016, her name is Annie Delgado. She gets a lot of controversy because she really is a bull in the china shop, and she doesn't take anything from anybody. She just goes straight for what she thinks is right. She ran his Florida grassroots and coalition. She told me in 2018 when he was elected, she said, "Ann, watch out. He is John McCain on steroids." Well, while we've all benefited during COVID from a DeSantis governorship and, of course, record profits, and he's managed the state fiscally very well. It's not hard to do when you have tourism as your main, you know, main source of revenue here, in addition to everybody moving here because COVID. You got to watch out because, you know, he is a rhino in MAGA clothing. And, you know, at this point, he should be standing behind the presumptive nominee, which would be Donald Trump. Whether you like him or not, that's what you should do. But we don't see him giving Trump any accolades. In fact, he's positioning himself, in my humble opinion, to pounce on Operation Warp Speed the moment he can. And Latipos, our Surgeon General, who has been really good, is really paving that way for him with standing up and standing out against the vaccines and myocarditis, all things you want to do. But there's been some information coming out recently that would lead one to believe Trump really didn't know. He trusted Burks and everybody, and he's now finding out just how bad that advice was. So I think we're leading up to this reveal of Trump, mea culpa on the vax.
That's my question. I mean, I even have this internal debate myself, too. Has Trump learned the lesson of his first administration that everybody from the establishment will betray him? You know, has he learned the lesson enough to know to source people from outside of Washington, D.C. and Virginia, get people from real America, right? Bring those people in, people who know how to run businesses, people, doctors who know how to save patients instead of murdering them for profit, right? There's a lot of great candidates that could fill a Trump administration, but he's still Trump. And this is something that's on my mind all the time. Trump still won't say that it was a mistake to push Operation Warp Speed. Do you think that's going to really hurt him in this election, or will he come around, or what's your take on that?
My gut is he's going to come around. I just feel that he's going to come around. I've actually spoke to people who I am not privileged. I don't feel like it's my place to reveal who these people are, but I do know that President Trump took a meeting with some people that I trust very, 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 very much, know them very well. And this meeting was supposed to be a 5-minute meeting. It turned into a 2-hour meeting, and he was given a lot of information, source information, data. He was given a lot of really good information as to the state of the state. And his response was, well, somebody lied to me. And he singled out one particular individual. Again, I don't want to present too much information. It's really not my place to present it. But I do trust the people that shared this with me. And I do believe this information to be true. And this is a recent meeting that took place in the last month or so. Wow. So I think it's now coming to the point. And you're seeing, you know, Kash Patel when he's on tour, on the Reawaken tour. And now we've got Devin Nunes joining the Reawaken tour. I'm speaking at a separate event in Branson this summer, and it's going to be myself, General Flynn, Devin Nunes, and a few others. So I don't think they're going to put someone that they call a QAnon conspiracy theorist, like I've been labeled millions of times in the past, to try and discredit things that I brought to the forefront along with Devin Nunes if there was going to be a problem. And they certainly wouldn't put me on stage with Eric Trump if they thought what I was talking about and all this anti-COVID stuff, if the Trump family wasn't listening, paying attention, and trying to understand where all this went wrong. And I think you and I know where it went wrong. You know, it went wrong a long time ago with Burks and Fauci and Barrick and Daszak and a whole host of other people. But it's bigger. It's the DOD. It's the whole industrial complex of evil that goes across all of these agencies. And I think that is where we need to really focus about dismantling all of it, Mike. All of it needs to go.
Let me remind our viewers that you are also with zfreedomfoundation.org. And I've got that website up on my laptop if our producers want to show it. And then also you're on Brighteon.tv. And again, your show is at 8 p.m. Monday through Friday. I've got that. And here's Z Freedom Foundation, the Zelenko Foundation. And, Anne, you know so many people, you interview so many people. It's really quite extraordinary. That's why we're so thrilled to have you on the Brighteon.tv network, and we support you wholeheartedly in what you're doing. Here's my question. I had a very interesting guest. I know you know who Dr. Paul Cottrell is. I had him on last week, and he believes he has the blueprint for the next pandemic that's going to be released, and that blueprint's going to be SARS plus HIV plus avian flu. Mm-hmm. And then I've found a lot of material that points to avian flu. For example, avian flu medication that's being shipped by the cargo plane load. Avian flu vaccines are ramping up. Avian flu narratives in the media are ramping up. Even the National Wildlife Health Federation, I think it's called, under USGS, is talking about this zombie infection where avian flu gets into mammals. They're talking about skunks and foxes and so on, and it changes their behavior. Do you think that they're prepping another big plandemic to try to disrupt a potential Trump victory again?
They're going to use anything and everything to disrupt Trump. But here's the thing. We just saw that the Senate today lost the vote. In other words, when I say the Senate, I'm saying the people that don't want to give our country our sovereignty to the WHO. The Senate had a vote, and they lost by 2 votes, where they would have to agree to vote on whether or not we surrender to an international pandemic treaty or international health regulations to the WHO. Joe Biden took care of that when he signed us over. So the real battle to me is, if Trump were to come back, let's say Trump flew in on a white horse right now and everybody in that awful White House is gone. They're all gone. Really, we have a job cut out for us right now, because the first thing Trump would have to do is remove us from the WHO. So if they can get a pandemic going before Trump, and assuming that we take over these machines, we don't have another machine problem, because here we are 3 years later, we still haven't solved the machine problem. So we haven't fixed
the voting machine, the counting machine.
Right. So, this is all about, literally, they've got to control the masses as quickly as possible. So they started with the Marburg scare a few weeks ago and dropping Marburg around the place. But we all know Marburg is really hard to transmit. It's hard for it to get into a pandemic type phase, unless, of course, they've gain of function that. But my God, what kind of demons would do that? Because that is literally just a horrific way to go.
Well, but
this makes a lot more sense, Mike, because it clearly is it's an RSV. It's a respiratory infection, and people are accustomed to getting the flu. Will they use the WHO? We've lost the vote in the Senate. Now they've got the WHO, and they can say, you know what? We have a pandemic of international health, and or what is it? A pandemic health of international concern, a fake. They'll send in the troops because they
exactly.
can't really have a Trump election. They don't even want the election to happen. I'm not sure we'd even have a 2024 election, Mike, right now. They need to lock us down. And let's not forget our borders and how bad that has been. The Russian age males, the Chinese age males, all fighting age males that have come in addition to thousands of known terrorists on watch
yes.
lists are all in. And I believe they're waiting for the signal. I mean, there's so much boiling right now between the pilots that one a day are dropping in the skies worldwide. That's underreported. So we just have a lot of bombs going off. Remember the path I talked about we're trying to get, where we're trying to go? We have all these distraction bombs. They're real school shootings, horrible things happening. But the point is, it's the WHO that wants this constant chaos so that they can come in and lock us down and roll us into the one world government. And don't forget, the IRS, believe it or not, is actually a United Nations chartered organization. So that money that you're writing checks to isn't even going to the Treasury. It's going right to the World Bank.
You know, Dr. Francis Boyle told me that as soon as the WHO treaty, or it's not really a treaty, as you know, but
it's an agreement.
Yeah, but they're kind of calling it a treaty. But as soon as this is adopted by the United States, and as you mentioned, the Senate vote just failed to have oversight against that. But Dr. Boyle said, as soon as this is adopted, we should be on the lookout for the next bioweapon release, you know, a plandemic to be deployed.
Yep.
And again, this is from the man who wrote the bioweapons, the laws against bioweapons development, right? Under, I think it was signed by Reagan, in fact. And now he's warning about the next bioweapon to drop. Well, that WHO treaty, or agreement, as it's called, as you know, Anne, you've covered this, it allows the WHO to order every local county, every clinic, every hospital, every state, city, and nation to round people up and throw them into quarantine camps, for example, or to require mandatory vaccines. This is a global health dictatorship, and it's the perfect setup for the release of this chimeric bioweapon, which Dr. Cottrell called aerosolized HIV, by the way.
Yep.
So it's like all the pieces are lining up. How can people not see this?
Well, again, Mike, they can't see it because they have so many distractions. We're launching, like I said, you're going to start to see more and more school shootings. I'm waiting for the planes to start falling out of the sky. They're going to have mass chaos all around us so that as they continue to roll this out, again, it's between that and what Bank of America has been filed in terms of a patent, which allows for them to track you, your financial stuff, and connect it to the environmental social governance system, the social credit score. This is all about rolling all these banks up. We're watching the banking industry collapse. It's going to roll into a couple of banks.
Right.
And then Bank of America with that patent, they may be one of the chosen ones. We shall see about how they can control all of us. And of course, don't forget, they've always had their depopulation agenda. Mike, you've talked about that to your blue in the face, literally. I mean, they think there's way too many useless eaters on the planet, so they need to eliminate at least half of us. And so this, to them, just to have a pandemic wipe us out, no big deal. It gives them another reason to experiment us on in their you know, crazy Frankenstein way. Remember Fauci and AIDS, he brought all that.
But we
didn't have to have any of that. That was all Fauci.
This next weapon to be deployed is, I think, the second half of a binary weapon. I mean, what we're finding, even former CDC director Dr. Redfield said that the next pandemic will be so much worse than COVID. Well, what was COVID designed to achieve, especially with the mRNA injections? Immune suppression, panic, and a totalitarian control system to lock down the grid, lock down the supply chain, and to put in place quarantine laws and medical authoritarianism laws in places like Washington State, Oregon, California, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, and of course, all of the socialist European countries as well, and many other states in the US. But now the original COVID was just to set up humanity for this next bioweapon that conceivably will wipe out those who have weakened immune systems. Like the kill shot is coming. The kill shot is the next thing, which and it doesn't even have to be that strong. It could be H5N1 humanized, like gain of function for humans,
right?
Which normally you and I would just fight off. But for those people who have taken, let's say, 5 injections, it could be very fatal for them. There could be, in fact, I forgot who said this, but yeah, it was an expert that was quoted in New Scientist magazine, talking about the National Wildlife Health Federation, warning about this, that said that the fatality rates of this did they call it? This bird flu. Yeah, it's an H5N1 bird flu. Mm-hmm. The fatality rate, they said, is on the scale of Ebola. In other words, 50%. That's what they said.
Right. Well, again, this is all part of their agenda. But let's also, I don't want to scare everybody watching this show right now, but Mike, it's been proven that the jabs that people have taken have shed all over us. And I know this to be a fact because I am very diligent about taking so many, all my detox supplements. But when I don't, or if I'm around a lot of people who've definitely taken the COVID shot, I get I call it the headache, and it's right here in the back left of my brain. Sure enough, I was doing some reading and some research, and there is actually where the jabs are now. It showed where the jabs are actually concentrating, and there is a spot right back here where some circuitry starts assembling. And it's this is what happens. You know, we've all been exposed to it. Probably you less than others. I travel a lot, so I'm sure I have picked up a lot of this. Shedding while
exposed.
I'm on a flying tin can spreader, but. I do everything I can to detox, and we can continually detox, but it's in the air. They're spraying it in the air. It's in the water. And if you're not careful, it's in the food you eat. It's everywhere. This has been their plan for quite some time. So to degrade your immune system, so when the next pandemic happens, and this one is a weaponized bird flu,
Well, let me share something else with you. But by the way, I think we should update the slogan, don't tread on me to don't shed on me.
Yeah.
But one of the drugs that I received a tip from one of my sources, confirmed it with a second source, that one of the drugs that was being airlifted by the pilot in large commercial cargo planes, it was called Paramivir. And Paramivir, if you look this up, you can look it up on Mayo Clinic or drugs.com or whatever. The side effects, I'm not even making this up. The side effects are all zombie side effects. And they include like scaly skin, red puffy eyes, confusion, difficulty walking. But then there was another side effect that said believing false information even in the presence of facts. Like apparently if you take this drug, which is only administered via IV, so they have to have you in the hospital, they keep you there. And they put this in your IV tube. This drug will make you believe false things, such as the next pandemic, and it will turn you into a zombie. And then you know how this works, and they can blame the zombie symptoms on the H5N1 and say, look how bad it is. These people are getting sick in the hospitals. This is the same crap they already pulled the first time around. Oh, look at all these people dying. Yeah, you killed them.
Right. Right. Well,
setting
again,
it up.
This is the playbook. And how stupid are we if we're going to accept and regurgitate and just assume that they're here to help? Remember, who was it that said, I'm with the government, I'm here to help, famous, five words you never want to hear? This is why I go back to these agencies. They're fully unconstitutional. Never once in our founding fathers' papers were they ever mentioned that we would have a CDC, an NIH, an FDA, a Department of Education, a Department of Energy, a Department of Defense. We had our military. We didn't need all of this. And look at what this has become. We are now the victims of a bureaucracy that has just gotten to be so tyrannical and so monolithic.
Yeah.
And you can't get rid of these people. You simply can't even fire them.
And check this out. I'm on mayoclinic.org. Okay.
Yeah.
Show my screen, guys. Mayoclinic.org. And this is for the drug. Here it is. Paramivir. Intravenous. Okay. This is what was being hauled in preparation for this pandemic. Check out the side effects. I'm not even making this up. Holding false beliefs that cannot be changed by fact.
Yeah.
And then check this out. Seeing, hearing, or feeling things that are not there, i.e. transgenderism or belief that the Democrats believe in freedom or something like that. Red eyes, swollen skin, red skin lesions, often with a purple center. This is like a zombie movie.
I was just going to say, is there any surprise now that Amazon has it in their terms of service, the zombie apocalypse? I mean, they talk
yeah,
about
true.
It. And the
True.
Amazon Web Service terms of service, they talk about the zombie apocalypse. I think it was in section 41 something or other, 41.7 or whatever, but it's there. It was there. And you know what, Mike? You're absolutely right. Looking at this right now, you're going to see people check into a hospital with flu-like symptoms. They'll put them on the Paramivir. Where were these, by the way, where were these being airlifted to
oh,
what part of the country?
I have a list of cities. One of them was in Europe. I don't want to give the actual city. One of them was in Europe. One was in Texas. One was in Australia. And then there were a couple other cities on the East and West Coast in the U.S. So it was multiple continents.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, folks, you heard it here. Mike Adams breaking Paramivir, and they're going to turn into a zombie apocalypse. You'll go in with a sniffle and come out a zombie, like, but you'll believe anything that they tell you.
What kind of drug causes blistering, peeling, or loosening of the skin? Are you
Why
kidding
you
me?
Why would you take it?
Like,
Why
what
would you
the?
Take it?
Cracks in the skin, difficulty swallowing, diarrhea, fast heartbeat, hives, itching. I don't mean to spend so much time on this, but I read these, you know, loss of heat from the body. It's like a cold reanimated zombie corpse,
yeah,
you know, lumbering down the street with red eyes and a bleh, bleh. It's like, oh my gosh, what is this? Like a Nancy Pelosi press event? What's going on? I don't know. But it's, You see them just setting this up. Like they're pulling the same narrative again.
That's it. That's it. This is the same playbook. The problem is, Mike, these people don't really have an original thought. They recycle their best material. And if we fell for it the first time or the second time, they feel like we're going to fall for the third or fourth. They can just keep doing it over and over. I don't know at this point, now that so many people have taken this injection, which frankly has lobotomized many, I feel that people's ability to think cogently, to think as sort of a what happens next, like if I do this, what happens next? People just have lost the ability to sort of reason with anything. If you travel at all and you walk around in the public spaces, you see how people sort of navigate where they're going. It's as if they're missing a gear. They
Absolutely.
Can't quite get into overdrive. They certainly can't get past second gear. They just simply can't even get to the third or fourth gear. It's really tragic what I've seen happen in the public space, just moving around, people not being able to make decisions quickly. And if they do, they make the wrong one. Or they sort of stress out over which latte to buy at Starbucks. I mean, it's really quite extraordinary to see what's happened to people's cognitive abilities since they've started taking these jabs. They have been
it
what
is.
I would call lobotomized.
These are lobotomies. Absolutely, you nailed it there, and it's infertility, and of course it's depopulation, mass global genocide. Did you know, by the way, that the WHO has an agreement in place? I just saw this last week. To take 10% of the production of vaccines right off the production lines of 14 manufacturers of vaccines, 10% to send them to, quote, low-income countries, which means, by the WHO, it means Africa. It means
right.
African nations, people of color. This is the anti-black genocide of the WHO once
yeah.
again rearing
yeah.
its ugly head. They're declaring war on Africa. And it's just like, The U.S. government ran medical experiments on black soldiers or black prisoners or black children. Fauci murdered black children in New York for his AIDS drugs experiments. This is the war on black people all around the world yet again.
Well, you know what's interesting, Mike, is that the indigenous people around the world, these are non-UN treaty or nations that are of indigenous people that have not become members of the United Nations, thank God, they actually outnumber the number of member nations in the United Nations. So if these these nations were to say, we are not participating in the WHO, we're not participating in part of this next global pandemic, and they were to join the WHO, they could actually outvote the member nations
right.
of the World Homicide Organization. So there is something to be said for these indigenous nations. We have them right here in our own country. You know, we have the Modoc Nation, we have Seminole Nation, we have all these, you know, indigenous tribes that live right here in the United States that actually have weight. They actually rank in terms of the global populist vote. So there is something to be said for perhaps maybe that is the strategy. And it sort of kind of goes along with the whole state national exiting the system type strategy where you're not a party to the corrupt corporation,
yeah.
which is in fact what we have running this country right now. We don't have a government of, by, or for, right? We have a corrupt corporatocracy that is basically fascism taking over our government and is dictating to us based on their profit margins and what their ideology is in terms of their depopulation agenda to basically destroy everybody. That
you know,
doesn't
what strikes me about this too, I don't know what your thoughts are on crypto, but I've become way more favorable to crypto as an alternative, since the banking system is totally insolvent and it is failing. And all the arguments they made about crypto actually apply better to the banks. It's like, oh, it's so risky. You mean riskier than losing everything in Silicon Valley Bank?
Right.
Over a weekend, that was 100% loss until the bailout happened. But here's something interesting about depopulation. You notice that crypto is really making headway in Africa. So the African people, the African nations, where people typically don't bank, they don't have bank accounts, they're buying and selling and trading using crypto. Because even though they don't have a bank account, they can often afford a mobile device, and they can still do crypto transactions. So I think that the globalists are at war with any kind of currency that they don't control, especially crypto that they don't control, although they want a digital dollar. And then they're trying to kill off people of color, indigenous people around the world, because those people are just on the brink of discovering financial freedom without a central bank. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. In fact, I've got another little spin on this for you, and I just learned this recently, which I think is fascinating. Of course, if you remember, China kicked Bitcoin out because it was using too much energy.
Right.
They didn't want all that energy consumption. There is now a new market I've just learned of where methane gas, which is released from oil wells, right? It's just a natural byproduct, and it's usually capped because, whatever. But now you can turn that methane into an actual energy source to power the crypto mining. So can you imagine the cheap energy to power crypto, what that's going to mean for all the other nations that are in the BRICS countries, which now equate to about 85% of the world's population are now in BRICS, and it's growing every day. And you're right, it's the central war against bankers, and BRICS is a big component of that. And it's being fought through Ukraine in some large part, essentially. And that's good for us because it's exposing our DOD as being the demons that they are with all of their bioweapon labs over there targeting Slavic DNA. But again, I think crypto is going to be very significant moving forward. But also, I mean, the gold silver play, and then of course the cryptos that are going to be backed by gold and silver.
Exactly.
And how they, and I've talked to some folks that have technology that can now move gold and silver around very elegantly, so that you're not actually flying pallets around per se, but that you can constantly keep a measure of what your gold and silver is based on your crypto balances. No, so we're moving in the right direction for that.
I agree. And I've been watching that very carefully as well. I think, let's be honest, you and I both, and we, for every story that we do publicly, there's another story that is not yet ready to go public that we're watching because there's so much happening. Let me give you one example. Cold fusion or low energy nuclear reactions, right? So I'm really tied into certain people in the Linner community. And that would set free all the people of the world because it would mean decentralized energy in the same way that that decentralized money sets you free from a central bank. Decentralized energy sets you free from government regulated energy companies and having to live close to a city to get power. So of course, this is being suppressed, right? In the same way that there's a war on crypto, there's a war on decentralized energy, there's a war on decentralized speech, which is what all this censorship is all about. So it's a war against humanity's freedom in order to consolidate and centralize everything under the control of these evil Luciferian globalists who hate humanity. That's what it is.
Humanity, and they're privateers, they're profiteers, they are putting profits over people. I mean, Mike, I know people that are running around with Tesla coils that work. I mean, the free energy has been there. It's been there for a long time. But they, these people can't be public because they get killed. Sort of like the cancer doctors, the ones that could treat cancer. We've lost hundreds of doctors that could treat cancer without big pharma. They've all been slaughtered. That's so this is, again, it's the war on humanity. It's the war on God, who gave us freedom. Remember that. I mean, I say this over and over on a daily basis. God gave us our rights. He gave us freedom. We constituted government to protect those freedoms, and we basically memorialize them in our founding papers, our Constitution, right, our Declaration, our Northwest Ordinance. All these papers are very important to defining who we are and how we protect our freedoms. But like you said, these same evil demons, they are hell-bent. They don't believe in God, and they're absolutely committed to removing us from the planet so they can continue to, rule the planet per their ideology, which is, satanic in nature. And I think what unfortunately, I used to talk about this with some folks all the time. How do we wake people up? well, you got to take over the airwaves, and Brighteon is doing a heck of a job in promoting the, you know, the information. But we need to like take them over every digital billboard, every radio station. We've got to be everywhere with everything. And what is it people are going to wake up? What's going to grab people, Mike? If they see videos, and this, I'm sorry for your audience, this is graphic, but if they see videos of naked children, obviously blurred out faces and body parts, but being put on a table and cut open while they're alive, and organ harvested, and their blood pulled out for adrenochrome. If they see stuff like that, and it goes on, and it really does go on, but if they see it, I think that's going to be the shock value that's going to start to maybe get people to go, wow, because they're starting to get the taste of the child trafficking. Even President Trump was with Liz Crokin a few months ago. We were all there at an event for General Flynn, and she's on his board of America's Future, protecting the children and helping stop child trafficking and the sex trade. And Trump's thanking Liz Crokin. So for those that said Liz Crokin is a conspiracy theorist, you've got President Trump thanking her for all the work and attention she's brought to this entire horrific industry. But I think it's time now, Mike, the world has to see it.
Isn't it funny how quickly they came up with the video footage of this transgender murdering shooter who attacked this Christian church in Nashville? They found that video footage, boom, the next day. They still can't find the Epstein video footage. How amazing is that? Can't find the client list, can't find the footage. I don't know, the cameras didn't work. Very convenient.
It's always like that. Unfortunately, that's what we're always going to be battling, Mike. That and, of course, the deep fakes is a reason why they're starting to pump the deep fakes out there. And they're making it obvious that they're deep fakes, but they're calling attention to deep fakes so that when we put the truth out, they can go, oh, that's a deep fake. You know?
Yep.
Again, if you've read the Bible, not everybody gets to go. So eventually Christians that chose the shot, they didn't believe God gave us a perfect immune system and that natural immunity was better. Those that are atheists that chose the shot, well, they must believe in natural selection because they've self-selected themselves.
So. Good point.
Right.
All right. Well, look, we got to have you back. Again, we've only scratched the surface of the issues of our day, but I would just encourage people to watch your show Monday through Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern on Brighteon.tv. It's a free show, of course, and you do a fantastic job. Anything else you want to leave our audience with today before we wrap this up?
You know what? I always like to leave our audience with hope because, again, I do believe God has a plan. But he's not just going to execute it if we don't participate. So we have to do our part. Our founding fathers remind us it's our duty to govern ourselves. And so I ask everybody, start with your family. You know, Mike, I know you do a great job with your family and your community. You're fully prepared to help your community in times of need. And for that, we're very grateful. We just all need to operate like that. And it can be at the scale to which you can afford, but at least start thinking like that. If you start thinking like that, you will go a long way to everybody, you know, going forward in a peaceful way versus total calamity. Just make sure your house is always in order. That's the most important message.
Yeah, well said. And people will look to us more and more for wisdom, experience, and leadership on all these issues because, you know, a lot of people, their friends are dying. One of my family members was just attending two funerals back to back of people basically my age who took the jab and now they're dead. And guess what? You and I are survivors, Anne, and our audience is made up of survivors. We are here because we are correct about this. If we were wrong, right, Anne, we would already be dead by now.
Right.
We're not wrong. We're correct about this. And we set an example for people of how to navigate, how to survive, and then how to build a civilization on Christian principles that is sustainable, that is rooted in meritocracy and reason. And right. Respect for creativity and consciousness. So that's got to be the ultimate goal, but we have to get through this giant crunch that's underway right now and billions will not make it. That's my belief.
I agree with you. Sad to say, I sadly agree with you on that, Mike. But again, I appreciate everything that you're doing, your team, our folks at Brighteon, just a great group. We're very blessed.
Well, thank you so much, Anne. God bless you. And we appreciate you and your work and just you're doing amazing things. The show, folks, is right now with Anne Vandersteel, 8 p.m. Eastern on Brighteon.tv. And of course, feel free to repost this interview on your own channels or other platforms as well. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon.com and Brighteon.tv. And we believe in freedom to speak, freedom to think, health freedom, medical freedom. We are true believers in freedom. So thank you, Anne, for joining me today.
My pleasure.
All right, that's it, folks. Brighteon.com and Brighteon.tv. Have a great day. Take care.
A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.